You're in tune with World Cricket Weekly Talk, brought to you by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. Nigel Reid and Zubin Zakari, the people that run the game, have been sitting down at length over the last few days and deciding what the future might look like. There's a very interesting landscape developing here, particularly as far as those world events are concerned, the World T20 and, of course, the World Cup, which we've discussed on this show before, and specifically the numbers of teams taking part in the World Cup. Now, we know that the ICC had to do some backtracking over the next World Cup, which comes out in 2015, so we know how many teams are going to be taking part in that competition. But now it seems they're crunching the numbers again as far as the World T20s are concerned, and they're saying 16 teams for that. But then after that, we look at the details for the proposals for, say, 2019 50-over World Cup and going forward, and they're saying we're back to 10, which means that we're back to the full members and hard luck everybody else, including the associates and the affiliates. Is that the way you read it?
Yeah, it seems it kind of crept in under the radar. But it's a bit of, there's a positive and negative side to it. There's obviously, you know, the negatives are, there's 10 teams, and I'm not sure if that makes up a World Cup, really.
In terms of there's not a global representation?
No, not at all. I mean, don't call it a World Cup. You know, it's...
What are you going to call it?
Champions Trophy. But on the flip side of that is that they are increasing the 20-over format of the game, and which obviously brings this competition a little bit closer, which it seems to be the case. But either way, I think, you know, regardless if it's 10 or 16, to be honest, it's what our development is to play at that level. And if we're going to continue doing it the way we are now, I don't think sending more teams to World Cups are going to be fruitful. You know, you're not going to get the results you want. Prepare us well, prepare us better, and get our teams playing against good competitions more frequently, accesses to good competition around the world. Yeah, then we can maybe compete and have the fight for the last two spots. But
let's get another perspective on this. Joining us on the line from Calgary is Ravin Murthy, who is the new president of Cricket Canada. Plenty to speak to him about. Ravin, welcome back to the show. Should they call this a World Cup if they've only got 10 teams?
To be honest with you, I think it's really disappointing. I think we're in a position where we're starting to make strides, and we're trying to, you know, push the envelope of what we think is possible in countries like Canada, and not just for us, the Irish, the Scottish, the Dutch. You know, we're all kind of in the same boat, trying to push what we feel is possible. And you know, to get a decision like this is just, you know, it's just so disappointing.
So the ICC are kind of going back to the bad old days and saying we'll have a competition which we know will include teams which we know will pull in punters to the stadiums and pull in viewers as far as our prestige tournaments are concerned.
Despite, you know, some strides we've made and things, you know, like recommendations from the Wolf Report and, you know, definitely getting the 2015 World Cup back to the 14 teams, I think, you know, at the end of the day, we have to be realistic, and we're still in a world where we're at the mercy of decisions that, you know, are put in place of, you know, certain members. And, you know, we're a long way away from the ICC, you know, looking at this as a truly equal global game.
And yet at the same time, the ICC, while discussing numbers for their prestige tournaments going forward, are, as part of the same meeting, also discussing the Wolf Report and saying, well, we're going to keep on talking about it, not sure we're going to do anything about it and shift the balance of power, but we're going to keep on talking about it. I mean, is that just bluster as far as you're concerned?
I think the thing is, when you look at the Chief Executive's Committee, I think, you know, their mandate, part of it, is to look at things like the Wolf Report and see how it could benefit cricket. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, I think, you know, not just us, but a lot of the associates are looking to start to see if the Wolf Report can get some traction. And when I, you know, when I look, I can see that Ireland is sort of moving in that direction. I know Warren submitted a plan to the ICC now for, you know, at least 20 ODIs in a year that the Irish should be playing. And, you know, so I think regardless of what happens with the Wolf Report, a lot of these countries are just going to try and start moving forward.
What about the important business of cash distribution? Everybody knows the associates and the affiliates, you know, and the full members, I guess, are beneficiaries, if we can put it like that, of, you know, the ICC's central bank account. But if the ICC is, by telling us these numbers for these forthcoming tournaments, is this kind of the thin end of the wedge, and they're saying, well, you know, as far as the minnows are concerned, we're perfectly happy with the status quo, and that's kind of where they're going to stay, and as a result of that, they're going to get this much funding as opposed to this much funding?
Yeah. Part of the issue, it's that, you know, I think Zubin, you know, was mentioning, it's not even just about the World Cups, it's what's happened between the World Cups. And, you know, I mean, in Canada's case, I mean, we have to be very realistic that our funding picture next year is going to change. again. You know, we won't have that World Cup grant coming in. We'll be dealing with less money, and it's going to be difficult to compete. And, you know, we have a lot of opportunities in front of us, but if you don't have the finances to support those opportunities, it's going to be very difficult to take advantage of them. So we have a lot of issues, I think, that the associates and the affiliates need to deal with in terms of funding. A lot of it has to be solved on your own. But, you know, a lot of it will need ICC help.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want to be naive, and I'm sure you and all the presidents around the world of the associates aren't naive enough to say, fine, we'll take our ICC handout on a yearly basis and that's where it'll stop. But, I mean, Zuby was saying earlier on that there may be a part of the reason why the now ex-coach of Canada walked away because, you know, there wasn't the funding to do the basics right. And maybe that's something to do with the way the global game is funded.
And that's exactly it. I mean, there's so much money that's emphasized on players, and we've beaten this to death in terms of trying to say the differences of the demographic of Canada. And if we're talking specifically about our country, you know, about, you know, let's say you allocate $5,000 for cricket balls, and you have to spend that traveling, getting Jimmy to training at in Toronto. You know, you get him flying out twice, that's $5,000 right there, basically, with putting him up for a week. You know, that's little things that eat into your costs that I don't think maybe ICC realizes. That's just a small example. You know, you got to rent out places to train. We got to pay people to do our grounds work, uniform costs, all these miscellaneous things. ICC was mandating us to change the logos on our uniforms. So that means you got to order more uniforms. You know, uniforms are not cheap for 20 guys if you want to get a decent quality one. It's just the fundamental stuff that just has to be in place. And, you know, when you're spending the money your handout from the ICC on that kind of stuff, it's obviously taking away from junior development, sending a guy away to a camp. Things that are going to actually make us better.
And working from the ground up. So, Ravin, let's move on to the decision by Michael Dighton to walk away from the head coaching job. Where does that leave you and your executive as far as Cricket Canada is concerned? I suggested to Zubin earlier on, it seems to be a little bit of a slap in the face, and maybe, just maybe, it's born out of frustration as much as anything else.
First of all, I think we ought to thank Michael for, you know, making the move over to Canada and taking on this challenge. We're happy with the job he did. I think Michael Dighton is a great guy, and you will hear the name Michael Dighton again as we go through the next 10, 15 years of cricket and coaching, especially, you know, probably domestically in Australia. You know, people think it's a slap in the face at all. I think, you know, people have, you know, different situations that, you know, they have a lot of factors to weigh when they make decisions. So, you know, we have grown as an organization, you know, in the time, you know, since we hired Michael. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to some of the lessons that we learned, you know, having, you know, Michael here. So where this leaves us, I mean, we're about 18 months away from a World Cup qualifier. And that's the bottom line. That's the focus. That's what we need to do now. So we need to find the right person to fill that role. And, you know, give that person that, you know, year and a half to try and get us into the World Cup.
Dighton, as you say, brought that energy and that professionalism and, of course, that playing experience. But in any sport, you're judged on your results. It's a results-orientated business. They were not good.
They weren't. And, you know, we know that. Michael knows that. And, you know, everybody knows that. At the end of the day, Canada has not been playing good cricket for the last, you know, since the World Cup. The senior men's team has certainly not been playing good cricket, and we understand that. And, you know, our job is to right that ship, and part of that will be, you know, having a new face in the organization and a new coach that's going to take that forward.
What's the timeline? How soon do you need somebody in post to put a flag in the sand and say, it's okay, we know what we're doing, we're moving this ship in the right direction?
You know, the domestic season is starting, so, you know, the boys will be playing some cricket anyway, and we'd like to have someone in place by the end of May. And if we can do that, I think that leaves, you know, somebody a good, you know, 5 weeks or so to prepare for the Scotland tour, and hopefully we get out to Scotland and can start to arrest the slide a little bit.
What about the candidates themselves? I mean, obviously, playing experience, coaching experience would be helpful. What about the demographic as far as the successful candidate is concerned? I mean, Dighton brought that Australian way about him, but was he, in hindsight, and maybe it's too close to the decision to be objective about it, but was he the right fit for the job, bearing in mind the players he was working with? Would you look at perhaps somebody from the South Asian community who would be a better fit for the team?
No, as we went through when we hired Michael, we're going to go through a process, and you know, we will select what we feel is the best candidate. You know, to your point about demographics, I think we also have to look. I mean, it is not unheard of for a foreign coach to come in, you know, who's a different ethnicity than perhaps the players that we have, and to be successful. I mean, I don't think that's something that can't be looked at or can't be done, and I think there's a lot of precedent for that. So our focus is going to be to hire the best person, somebody who really, you know, believes that they can come in here and make a difference, and you know, somebody who is really proud to you know, wear the Maple Leaf, just like our players. We want guys that are proud to be part of Canada and proud to have this opportunity to represent Canada and represent our country on the world stage. So whether that's a player or a coach, there's no difference. So those are the kind of things that we want to look at and make sure that we have people in place that support that idea.
Does it need to be somebody who understands, appreciates, and is frankly sympathetic to the challenges of taking over this post? Of course, money is an issue in terms of preparation and putting a professional gloss on what any head coach with a little bit of pride is trying to do.
You know, I guess from our standpoint, I think we just have to kind of understand what we are able to do, what we have in terms of resources, and just make that clear to, you know, the candidates. You know, there are challenges. You know, it's not easy. I mean, for a coach to come in here and then wonder, you know, from, say, October or November to March, what he's going to do with his team. You know, that's the reality of being in Canada. I had a meeting with someone yesterday telling me that, you know, he's still shocked. You know, he'd just come over from England and saying that he had to pay $60 an hour, you know, $60 to rent a field so that his son could have a hit. So we have some certain challenges in this country, but, you know, there are certain, you know, positives that we also need to accentuate. And I think that at the end of the day, they all balance out, and, you know, we have an opportunity to provide someone else with the opportunity to come out and be, you know, to really make a difference, not only in Canadian cricket, but on the world stage.
It's a problem that perhaps you'd rather not have to face this early into your presidency. But in a word or two, how optimistic are you that despite this bump in the road that you can find the right candidate who can push this team forward and raise the awareness and get them winning some games?
Well, I think we were very fortunate. We had a lot of good applicants the last time as well, so we know there's a lot of interest in this job. And, you know, as we get out there and, you know, develop our strategy a little bit as to how we want to look for Michael's replacement, I'm not really worried about hiring or finding the right candidate. I believe there's a lot of qualified candidates out there. I think we're just looking to find the right fit for Canada, and I think that's you know, more of a important concern that we have is just, like you said, touched on something, somebody who understands the challenge of being here, somebody who, you know, can make that move from wherever they are to Canada. And, you know, for all the great things that Canada is a country, it's different than a lot of places where some of these people are coming from, and it's an adjustment. And, you know, we have to consider that as well. So, you know, I'm hoping that by July we're talking about winning some games.
I hope so too. Watch this space. Ravin, good to talk to you, and thanks for your candor as ever.
Thank you, Nigel, and thanks again for all the interest in what we do.
Ravin Murthy, the president of Cricket Canada. I mean, you know, he's been in the job 5 minutes, and suddenly he's got to find a new coach. Probably not the way he'd like to start his presidency, but, you know, maybe it'll be the making of the man.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a new challenge for him.
But now he's the top man.
But now he's the top man, yeah. He's well equipped to deal with that kind of stuff. He's, you know, he's got the right tool, so just another hurdle to get over. It's fine.
Sifting through the resumes over the next few days and weeks, perhaps. This is World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.